We read a few of these verses in Philippians chapter 2 and talked about having the mind of Christ Jesus. I know this morning Pastor talked about running the race and how we all want to serve God with our lives. God gives us different tasks he wants us to do. But our example is Christ, and I want to use the example in these few verses in Philippians about some things that we should keep in mind to have the mind of Christ, to have the mind of a servant. And I want to try to be specific, and if it might apply to something I don't think of, but I think about just people in this church. We have a lot of people that do a job in this church. Some were mentioned tonight, nursery workers, people that clean the church, people that work in the Sunday schools, people that sing in the choir and sing special music, and teachers and helpers and workers. And I joke about it like a nursery worker. If we have more babies, we might need more nursery workers. If we have more kids coming in Awana, we need more helpers and workers that are willing to work with kids in Awana. So there's a blessing on our church, and because of God's blessing, there's more work that God has for us to do. And it's not enough just to show up, but it's good to have the mind of Christ. And again, as you mentioned in the testimony, kids see more than you think they see. They pick up more than you think they pick up on, and they're always listening and repeating everything that you say and telling on mom and dad. So we need more people. I don't want to get more people exposed to my kids, but kids pay attention. They listen, they learn. And if we are careful with what God gives us, if we are good stewards of what God has given us, he'll bless us with more. One of the songs that we sang tonight, it has the reference at the top. I want to be faithful. The reference was 1 Corinthians. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And again, we're stewards of what God has given to us. So as a servant of Christ, trying to have the mind of Christ, we can look at him for that example. The first one I was thinking about, I didn't know how to say it, and Brother Gary sang that song. It reminded me again, the first point of the lesson tonight, Christ kept the right perspective. Some of the verses we read this morning, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He kept the right perspective when he had the joy set before him so he could endure the cross. Christ could endure the cross. And in junior church today, we talked to the little kids about that song, I've Got Joy Down in My Heart, J-O-Y, Jesus, Others, and You. And it's important to keep the right perspective. We all need to take care of ourselves so we can serve God, so we can serve others. But if our only focus is on self, we can't help other people. One of the verses that we did not read in Philippians 2, verse 4, it says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Talks about a balance. I don't know about you. I always joke about flying on an airplane because I'm terrified of it. But you want the pilot to take care of himself. You don't want to get on the plane and the guy gets on and says, I haven't slept in 3 days. I've been living on coffee and Twinkies and I don't know where I am right now. You want the pilot to take care of himself, but you want him to have the in mind. You want him to think of all those precious souls on that plane that he's in charge of. So you want a balance. You want somebody that is looking out for their own things, but also on the things of others. And it's the perspective. It's not getting locked in your focus on self, not getting locked in your focus on trying to please other people, but putting Jesus first, being a servant to others, and putting yourself last, saying, I want to keep myself the way I should be so I can be a servant to others, and keep a right perspective. In the book of Jude, the Bible says, keep yourselves in the love of God. So we are responsible for our attitude. We're responsible for the influences in our life. We're responsible to remind ourselves that God loves us. You know, it talks about do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Well, if you want to treat people well, then you would like to be treated well as well. But the verse says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. That's in Jude verse 21 through 23. It talks about keep yourselves in the love of God and then be on the lookout to help other people. So keep the right perspective. That's number one. Said a different way, look to Jesus, look to others, and not just on an inward focus. Again, we are all inconsistent. If we don't keep Christ in our view, we'll get distracted by our own inconsistencies. We'll get distracted by other sin, but we need to keep a balance. We need to keep focus on Christ and look at the way he lived his life. Again, Jesus took a nap. Jesus got hungry. He said, "You guys got anything to eat?" Jesus took care of himself so he could be a teacher to others. But his primary purpose in life was to serve others and to go to the cross, to put the joy before him and endure the suffering of the cross so that we could have salvation. So number one, look to Jesus first. Keep the right perspective. Number two, remember that God owns it and he lets us use it. Everything we have is God's. I read that verse. We are stewards of what God has given to us. As a servant of God, as a servant of Jesus Christ, he's trusting us with what he's given to us to use. But again, it's his. It's not ours. It's his resources. It's his abilities that he's given to us, the spiritual gifts, however you want to say it. If God has given you the ability to work with little babies or the ability to sing or the ability to go into an Awana classroom for an hour and a half and just have kids try to say verses to you, that's a special ability. Not everybody has that ability, but God's the one that gave you that patience and that love and that understanding. It comes from him, and you're a steward of, you're a caretaker of that ability. You're a caretaker of that resource. And God reminds us of this in 1 Corinthians about our bodies. The like you talked about, the thing that we know is ours when nothing else really is ours, our body. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And again, I can tell you right now, I don't have the perfect body, and I don't always have the perfect spirit. But that's a good reminder that it's always God's. Whether we treat it right or not, it's God's property. We are the caretaker of it, but God owns it. He lets us use it. We get to use it or misuse it, but God is the one that owns it. So stay focused on not just yourself. Stay focused on Jesus and others around you. Bear each other's burdens. Lift up those that are falling down. God is the owner. We're just the operator. Number three, stay busy. There's five total, so we're almost done. Stay busy serving, or you'll soon be swerving. In the book of Luke, Jesus talked about people that wanted to follow him and to go where he went. The man said to Jesus in Luke chapter 9, "Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." And this is where Brother Gary's testimony comes in. Jesus said, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." And he said unto another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." Jesus said unto him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but thou go and preach the kingdom of God." Another also said, "Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Jesus was talking about a focus on following Christ, on serving other people, giving them the gospel, the simple things of life. If they were hungry, giving them food. If they needed clothes, giving them something to wear. And Jesus said, "Follow me." And you can't be distracted when you're doing that. You can't be trying to plow a straight line and looking back and seeing what everybody else is doing. And seeing, trying to find out, you know, if you're faster or slower than the guy next to you. He said, "No man that puts their hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." That servant mindset focuses on meeting other people's needs. You don't compare yourselves to other servants because you're too busy trying to help someone else. Again, all the ones I mentioned and many more, I probably am overlooking. People that serve within a church, people that go and find a ministry of help outside of the church, representing Christ, maybe to somebody that's never heard. They stay busy in service. They stay. They don't look back. They don't swerve because they're serving. They're too busy serving, so they're not going all over the place. The psalmist said in Psalm 19, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Again, we're all serving God together. We're on the same team. There are times when we have conflict. This is reinforced just today. I read something about when we have a disagreement, when we have an offense or somebody hurts our feelings or somebody says something or does something that we don't think is right. Our natural sin nature tendency is to, of course, not confront that person. Our nature is to go and tell somebody else that's not involved. Our nature is to go and say, can you believe what this person just said? Or can you believe what this person just did? But if you remember that God's in charge, and he owns us, and we're responsible to him, and we're supposed to be following him, then the first place we would go with that conflict, the first place we would go with that offense is back to God and say, hey, you're in charge. You're in charge here. Take it to God in prayer. And pray about it. Get peace about it from God, like we talked about in Sunday school. Get that peace that comes from God, and then let him lead you. Let him direct you. And if you do have to confront, you know, go to your brother or go to your sister and try to do it God's way instead of doing it your way. You know, try to follow the path instead of going all over the place. But a lot of times when we have conflict in our life, we leave prayer out of it. I always think about when we pray for dinner. You know, it's kind of a ritual habit. We always sit down and say, all right, we have to pray. You know, and we always pray, say grace, however you want to say it. You pray before you eat. But think of how much less trouble we'd get in if we had a conflict, if we had an offense, and we said, well, let's say grace over this fight. You know, grace for your food, say grace over this fight. We're about to have a fight. Let's pray about this first before we get into it. And I know we're all guilty of it. That's the last thing you want to do. When you think you're right, you want to prove your point all by yourself and leave God out of the situation. But we'd be better off if we prayed before we ate and if we prayed before we fought, remembering that God is in charge and God owns us, and he lets us make the choices and be the operators, but he's the owner. So that was number three. Stay busy serving or you'll soon be swerving. And the next one, always seek God's approval, never man's praise. And I'll just tell you, this is the hardest one for me, so it's the biggest one in my notes. Because always, and I'm sure many of us are this way to some extent, we put somebody else in God's place. And they might be the most wonderful person on earth, but they're not God. We put some other person in the place of judgment in our life. And again, they might be 10 times better than you'll ever be. They might be the most wonderful creature that God ever created, but they're not the creator. And we put them in God's place, and we try to earn their praise. We try to earn their approval. And we say, well, what would that person do? And we leave God out of it. We say, well, what does God want me to do, but how would so-and-so handle this? And we put them in God's place. But they can't see you the way that God can see you. Nobody can. Again, what was it when Samuel went to anoint King David, God told him, man looks on the outward appearance, the Lord looketh on the heart. Even the best Christian in the whole world can't see you the way that God can see you. So I do it myself, but why would we ever try to get a man's approval when we have the ability to please God? When God's the one that can see us, and God's the one that we should be working to praise God, not to earn man's praise. Jesus talked about it in Matthew 6. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And again, Brother Jeff mentioned it, and mentioned about we're here to serve God. A lot of the conflicts that we have are because somewhere in the back of our mind, we're still thinking, well, I wonder what so-and-so is thinking about me right now. I always tease with my wife about, well, I wonder how people think it's going so far. And she's like, half of them are worried about their own problems. They're not listening to you. You're nervous, and they're not even paying attention. But we live our part of our life that way. We say, well, I hope so-and-so is impressed with me. I hope I'm doing it right in their eyes. And we forget about God. We forget about, it's not man's praise, even if it's a wonderful person, but it's not man's praise that we're trying to get. It's God's approval. It's God saying, this is what I gave you. This is all I gave you to work with. You're a steward of this much, and I want to see what you do with what I've given you. We want God's approval for what he has entrusted with us. We read these verses this morning, but looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. When Jesus completed the work of salvation, he was not doing it to please the disciples that had been with him, that had followed him. He wasn't doing it to please his mother. He was doing it to follow the Heavenly Father. He was obeying the will of God. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. The only approval that Christ received and the only approval that Christ looked for on the cross was to finish the work that God had commanded him to do. That was the approval. And that's the same approval that we should seek in our own life. Again, the other things will fall into line because God's the only one that matters. We sing that song, I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name. His opinion of us is the only one that matters, and he's the only one that can really see what we are. That's what the servant longs to do. They want to please the master. They want to, I think we sang it tonight, they want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." They want to hear that from the master. And again, somebody else can tell them, "Good job, attaboy," but it's not the same coming from somebody that's not the master. It's not the same coming from somebody else. And again, whenever we elevate somebody else to that level, no matter how wonderful of a person they are, we're doing a disservice to that person because they're not God, and we're just doing a disservice to our Heavenly Father because his approval is the one that matters. Number five, decide to love being useful. Decide to love being useful, and you'll never be useless. A servant finds his joy. A servant finds fulfillment and excitement and happiness, however you want to say it, regardless of circumstances, they find that joy in helping somebody else and being a servant and serving and doing the master's will, serving God. It's not something that we have to do. Sometimes your feelings matter. The book of Philippians, read how many times in the book of Philippians it talks about this mind, the thoughts, think on these things. Talks about our mindset, the way our attitude that we have in our service. And again, a servant loves being useful. And as long as they love being useful, they will never be useless. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, the Lord loveth a cheerful giver, somebody that gives not grudgingly or of necessity. He gives according as he hath purposed in his heart. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. God will give you what you need as long as you're happy to use it to serve him. Decide that you're going to stay useful. The Bible says in Galatians, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. God gives you opportunities. Again, none of us are consistent and perfect. Sometimes we miss an opportunity, and God gives that blessing to somebody else. But it's our desire to serve him. It should be our desire to never say, well, I was useless in that situation, and God gave me a chance to be useful, and I didn't take it. Our desire should always be to be a used servant of God. If you're here tonight, we've got a couple minutes, but if you're here tonight and you're not a servant of God, you're facing the rest of your life in your own strength. Your own strength is not enough for your life here on this earth. If you're facing the rest of your life and then you're facing eternity in your own strength, if you've got anybody else in the driver's seat besides Jesus, it's not enough. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The good that we've done, all the good intentions we have in life are filthy compared to the righteousness of God. We all fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if you're here tonight and you're struggling with life, your strength is not enough. You're probably focused on somebody else besides Jesus. You haven't trusted in him. If you haven't trusted in him, then you're in a lot of trouble when this life is over. But either way, you need him right now. You don't need to trust Christ right before you die. You need to trust him now. You need him for now. You need him for eternity. And the service that we do is not for those that are in need. Those are the ones that receive the blessing right away. But the service that we do is to serve Christ and because of what he did for us. The joy that was set before him. He endured the suffering and the pain of the cross. Jesus said to a group of servants, he said, I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick. You came to see me. I was in prison and you came unto me. And again, Jesus said it to two groups of people. One group said, never saw you, Lord. If we would have seen you, we would have done all that stuff. Don't know what you're talking about. The other group said, never saw you, Lord. But Jesus said, you helped those that didn't look like Christ. One group said, I'm waiting to see Jesus before I help. And the other group said, I'm just going to help anybody that'll take the help. I'm going to help anybody that's hungry. I'm going to help anybody that's thirsty. And Jesus said, the second group that had helped, inasmuch as you had done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And that's really what all service is. That's really what every nursery worker and people that and cleaner upper and Sunday school teacher and singer and everybody that comes to serve, they're serving the Heavenly Father and they're serving Jesus Christ, who was a servant for us. So, to review, and then we'll pray, and we'll have an invitation. Maybe God's touched your heart about one of these areas. Maybe during the testimony time you thought, I'm doing the right things, but I've lost the focus in my life. I'm trying to do all the right things, but I'm doing it for the wrong reason. But stay focused on Jesus, not on ourself. Remember that God is the owner, and he lets us be the operator. Stay busy serving, or you will soon be swerving. Always seek God's approval, never man's praise. And then decide to love on purpose, decide to love being useful, and you'll never be useless. We're going to have a word of prayer. Again, we'll have a time of invitation. If God's spoken to your heart, this is the time to deal with it. Use this time as a reminder to say, no, I thought all that through, and this is what I decided to do, and use this time for his glory. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for hundreds of people in my own life, Lord, that I've probably taken for granted, that chose to be a servant to their Savior, Jesus Christ. They chose to show up and teach and preach and clean up a mess and be an example to me. And again, Lord, we all take people for granted. We all take the yielding to the Holy Spirit for granted. So I pray, Lord, if there's one here tonight that is willing to do a work for you, that they do it, want to do it for the right reason, that they want to be useful in your service, whatever area you've laid on their heart, they might see a need that none of us have seen. And you might be asking them to respond to meet that need tonight. So I pray, Lord, you use this time of invitation however you see fit, and that we'd seek your approval, and that we would do right in your eyes. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.